Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum, the mighty, mighty Heroes Asylum, issue 123. My name is Mike, and you know nobody can see you but me when you do that, right?
I just do it for you.
Okay.
I do it for you.
Kane's over there flexing in the camera. I'm like, we don't do the Facebook thing anymore, so nobody can see you.
What's going on, buddy?
But Kane is over there on the other side. You always say the other side of the equator. We're the other side of the county. We'll go with that.
I think it's cute being the other side of the equator.
We ain't that worldwide just yet, man. Soon, when we start doing videos off of the boats and stuff, we can be worldwide.
We can do that.
So how you been doing, man?
I've been doing good. I've just been, you know, regardless, we're both pretty busy. You know, we're doing our day jobs, and plus we are doing some stuff on the side, which I've been doing and planning and getting ready for October, to be honest. I can't wait. It's going to be a busy October, as you guys know. Midnight Movies always does these Halloween specials, and basically the entire month we do a watch-along to horror films. So we got that mapped out. I can't wait. It's going to be so freaking cool. I got a bonus one that I was working on with another buddy of mine that we're going to do at some other time. It's actually a movie that's near and dear to your heart that maybe you might join in for one of these nights. Who knows? But I got him penned, and yeah, just basically doing a lot of busy, busy stuff. And there's a lot of busy new stuff that's going on.
Yeah, definitely. And actually, don't forget, though, talk about Midnight Movies. We're doing your boy all month. I mean, I can't believe you're not pumping the fuck out of that.
Oh, yeah. Midnight Movies. Yes. Batman month, baby girls. It's here. We dropped
Gaslight this week. By the time this show comes out, I think within a day or two after this show drops, we'll have 89 Batman.
Which was a fun watch along. If you guys, when you do listen to it, we barely talk about Batman. Just saying.
Yeah, like, no, yeah. You and I went off on some tangents.
It was like, wait a minute. Like, we barely talked about the film. That's what the beauty of Midnight Movies is, guys. Like, there is a subject, the movie that we do, but rarely, if you go in the archives, because we have archives, we'll talk about the movie maybe 30 minutes at a time, and the rest we just go somewhere else. Same thing.
Well, we kind of stay in the subject range. We're just no longer talking about the movie. We'll try to pull ourselves back in, but really it just turns into into us like drifting away. It's like, oh, squirrel, look.
Yeah. Oh, look, elephant.
Yeah. So yeah, no, but yeah, like you were saying, man, so much has dropped in this last, like, just not just 2 weeks. I know because we're every 2 weeks, but literally just this last week, we had so many trailers, so many new news, video games, movies, announcements for future, like the MCU. We've got a brand new calendar came out for the MCU as to what movies are going to be coming out when. And then we also got news. I think they said 4 unknown movies.
Did you see that somebody actually penciled some movies in there?
No, I didn't see that. No, the only one I had was I do know that we have 21 to 24 scheduled, and then like I said, just those untitled movies.
Somebody I saw it at heroichollywood.com. Check out the website, very good, by the way. And somebody had taken those announcement posters and had penciled in those undetermined films, and they put X-Men in there. I mean, that's like the biggest thing. Everybody's putting X-Men everywhere. I think somebody put Moon Knight. I think Moon Knight actually is in there.
Well, Moon Knight's a television series, so that wouldn't be in there. No, this is only movie of releases. This has got nothing to do with Disney Plus.
They put that in A5. They put Avengers 5 in there too.
Yeah, I mean, it all depends on where we go. I mean, our next big crossover is simply, you know, the multiverse right now, to see where we go and what survives and what doesn't survive. But yeah, so we've got Eternals coming up November 5th, which Disney, they just announced that will not be going to their premium service. It's theater only. And then, of course, after that, we have Spider-Man, which is coming out. Then we have Doctor Strange, Multiverse. That's going to be March 25th next year. Thor, Love and Thunder, May 6. Then we got Wakanda Forever coming out July, and then the Marvels. So next year alone, there are 4 new Marvel movies coming out.
That's insane.
And then they have into 2023, we have Quantumania, and then 2023 also we have Guardians. Now there are 3 other titles to be released in 2023. So 5 movies planned. Again, keep in mind, guys, this shit can change. It's Hollywood. We know Hollywood. Hollywood will go, well, that didn't work out. We're gonna move this over here. You know, another studio releases something they don't want to compete with, they're gonna move it around. So just, you know, don't write these things in stone.
Yeah.
And then we have the 2024 four other scheduled dates. So yeah, it's a total of I misspoke. 2024 has four, so we have a total of seven untitled movies scheduled for the future.
You care to ponder which movies they might be?
Well, I know where there's talk. I know they're definitely doing a Captain America one, because I know he just signed up. That we just got news that he was signing up, so definitely one of those is going to be in there. Most likely an Avengers movie. After that, I don't know. I mean, we're getting a lot of the sequels up front right now. I don't think there's any more Spider-Man movies in the works.
Not that I know of, no.
That's far, but I think he's only got a 3-picture deal, or he had a 3-picture for Spider-Man. He still has other movies I think he's going to be in.
I think he's going to be used like Tony Stark was in Phase 1. I think you're going to see that's going to happen with Tom. He's going to finish out his trilogy, and then maybe he'll just appear in Avengers movies, or he'll appear in those Sony Spider films. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, there is. I heard there was talk of another Wanda and a Vision movie maybe coming out. So that might be part of them. So, I mean, there's so much that they have right now. We're not even thinking into, I know what you want me to do. You want me to delve into the X-Men and the Fantastic Four, but to 2024 movies, possibly I could see those being one of those movies.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the later the better. My opinion with the X-Men has always been like, you want to distance yourself, because literally, when was the last X-Men film? 2018?
Phoenix, yeah.
It's still fresh in everybody's mind. You want to give it a little bit of time to marinate, and you want to push them back as far as you can. And then when you release the X-Men, it's like these brand, oh, it's the X-Men. Like, yes. And knowing Feige, he's probably like salivating at the bit to get his hands on the X-Men. So it just, you know, the further the better. You know, I don't need the X-Men now. And honestly, I was one of those guys when they bought Fox. I was like, okay, it's great. But, you know, I kind of wanted like the X-Men to stay in their own Fox universe. I was never like them, a big proponent of them coming to the MCU. But hey, they're here. So,
yeah, I mean, it's one of those ones. It's like, I'm excited. I want to see that world grow and get bigger. I want to see certain team ups. But at the same time, it's like having those too many of those characters can kind of like overwhelm. One of the other movies that I didn't even think about with the Fox buyout, Deadpool. I know they're working on a Deadpool movie. So yeah. I bet you one of those untitled ones could be Deadpool.
Could be. As long as they keep Deadpool in the same context that what was Ryan Reynolds in the first.
That's everything. Like, everything that's been coming out. That's what it says. That they're going to stick into that same humor. I mean, it's why break? Why break it if it ain't? Why fix it if it's not broken? It's made money. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just because the mouse's name is attached to it doesn't mean anything. You got to think how many sub companies, you know, that Disney has that release some like hardcore fucking horror movies, and you know, so just because the mouse pays the, you know, writes the check doesn't mean it's got to be, you know, all, you know, your pretty bells and whistles. So
no sir, I would agree with you.
So what do you got? What you got? Anything new you found? Or
I guess since we have we talked about Shang-Chi yet?
No, I don't know.
I don't think we've talked about Shang-Chi. So I saw Shang-Chi, and you saw Shang-Chi as well, and I think we didn't talk about it for a while. I think it was one of those films, like, I liked it a lot. I put it on my personal Facebook page. I was like, I loved it. I love the way it looks. Like, the film is a pretty film to look at. Like, when people say it's very Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, it is. There was moments there's some Crouching Tiger in there. The fight scenes are really good. The fighting is phenomenal. I think you had your favorite scene, which is the bus scene. My favorite scene is one that actually they're in the that high rise, they're fighting in those trampolines, and not trampolines, but those bars and stuff. That I thought that was one of the best fight scenes. The story I thought was really good. Like, I love the story, especially the way they redeemed the Mandarin, but he's not the Mandarin, which I thought was kind of cool. They brought Trevor back, which he wasn't a throwaway character. He actually made part of the story, which I loved as well, which especially with the faceless little puppet thing that he's going with. I forgot his name, but I loved it. And people are saying it's one of the top five origin movies of all time for Marvel. I would agree with that also. Hands down, it is. Because Shang-Chi, let's be honest, besides me, you, and, you know, maybe like my friend Fred, who's like six blocks down, people don't know who Shang-Chi is. We do. his origin is very different from the comic. Like, he was more of a Bruce Lee type of character, and he's more of a mystical character here, which is fine.
His origin wasn't that much different, though, when you really look at the books. It was more who he was after he left his father. Like, everything that was happened in the movie, him, his dad training him, this character abusing him and becoming harder and harder, and then he goes out to do something that his dad wants him to do, and then he just leaves. That's his origin story. Yes, it wasn't the Mandalorian. I think it was a Fu Manchu. Yeah, I think it was who it was. So yeah, I mean, a lot of it was the same. They just like tweak here and there. So it wasn't like that much of a stretch. Instead of him becoming ending up becoming a valet driver, he became something else. His sister was like amalgamy of two other characters. So I mean, that extended world was a little different. I tell you what, the one thing that drove me up the freaking wall was when I was watching it. Razor Fist. The actor that played him looked just like the guy, and I'm trying to remember his name. It's in The Expanse that plays. Oh, shit. I'm trying to remember. I'm sorry. I'm just drawing a blank on names right now. He looks just like the actor that is in The Expanse. I don't know if you've ever watched any of The Expanse yet or not.
I watched the first two episodes and then I stopped because I had other things I was watching. But I've seen it. I know the guy you're talking about. I'm trying to picture his face right now.
Keep wanting to say Burton, but it's not Burton.
No, somebody else. But I know you're talking about old freaking Shovel Fan Face. What was his name again? Shovel Fan Face. Why did I say Shovel Fan Face? Oh, it's Sunday night, guys. How are you doing? What's going on, kids?
That was one thing that really threw me off so much. Amos Burton, yeah. So Burton was right. He looked like Wes Chatham, but Wes isn't as big as he is. But like the face, the beard, the haircut, everything. I just kept going, man, is that fucking Wes? But he's not that big. I don't think he would bulk up that much for that. But I love the movie. The fight scene in. On the car, I thought was fun, and I don't want to say this is the best origin story because I think all the others were great. I just don't think we've had one in a while.
Yeah,
I think that's the one thing. It's just we haven't had a real good origin story in a very. All these characters we've been introduced to have been freaking established.
Yeah,
I mean the last character that was sort of introduced was Spider. Well, no, he's Spider-Man.
Well, that wasn't really an origin. He was.
I know. That's what I'm saying. The most recent character. That's what I was saying. The most recent character that was introduced to the MCU was Spider-Man, and he didn't have an origin story. So that's why I kind of it was great. I had nothing to take away from it. I think what they did was great. The Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. I hate when they do that. It's not. It's Asian influenced, but us as white people in round eyes are going to refer to the only one that we can think of.
Yeah, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
The only thing I would say that reminded me anything like that was in the scene where they met and they fought and they had that battle. It was very, very reminiscent in the scene and in the placement where they were at that it took place. But that's it.
Yeah.
The one thing I loved was again when I talked about the fighting style. I thought it was great. My biggest bitch about G.I. Joe, Snake Eyes, was the fighting style. This is a martial arts movie. There's better martial arts on this than there was.
Which is crazy. You had guys who could do like the fight style that you needed, Snake Eyes, and they didn't do it. It was very odd.
Yeah.
Very odd. Like you should have had epic fight scenes in Snake Eyes, and he didn't.
Yeah, that's when I watched. That was my one concern when I was like, man, I just got through watching basically an Asian based movie with Snake Eyes, and it was horrible in the fight style, and I was worried about that when I went to go watch this. I was like, oh, what's this going to be like? And I was. I was pleasantly surprised. Very, very fluid. Very reminiscent of Jackie Chan style. Kind of like falling into certain places. Little trivia thing: if you rewatch it, you know how he changes his jacket later on. He's wearing like that reddish jacket, and then he wears this like blue jacket later on. It's the same jacket because during the fight scene, you watch him fight. He gets the red jacket turned inside out.
Oh, that's the blue fucking jacket.
The
jacket. Okay, that's right.
I was like, where did he get the blue jacket from? And then I rewatched it. I was like, mother, that's the same. He just turned it inside out. Awesome. And I love the fact that they stuck to the more contemporary costume with the red design. They didn't go with like you were saying earlier, that Bruce Lee style.
Where he was like bare chested.
Yeah, yeah. They didn't go with the bare chested style that we're, you know, so used to when you look back at, you know, the other books and stories that he's been in, but they went to the more contemporary style. I think that started like early 2000s.
I agree. I mean, look at remember Luke Cage? Luke Cage in the series came not yet. Luke Cage. When it came out, basically there was like a little nod when he escaped prison. He had that 70s style like open pop collar.
Yeah.
You saw the Machizo thing, and that was it. But he wore a hoodie through the whole show. So that's how they changed the costumes up to actually make it kind of more grounded and make it more sense, which I dug a lot. So.
Yeah. But no, I enjoyed it. I can't wait. This is our first true movie moving past the Endgames. Yeah, and I think that's great. I like the way they're doing it. I like how they're introducing, how they brought Wong in, and I love his interaction with everybody in there. Now my question to you. Did they get rid of Professor Hulk?
I hope so.
It was Banner.
They heard you. They heard you, Mike. That's what it was. They heard you.
I leaned over to our friend where I went to the movie with. I'm like, they got rid of fucking Professor Hulk. Yes.
It was you, dude. You put it in the ether, and they like, oh, he doesn't like fucking Hulk. And neither do I. I don't think anybody
likes it. I don't know a lot of folks that didn't. Apparently, there was a deleted scene I have not seen, but there's a deleted scene from Infinity War that would explain his transformation into being what that Professor Hulk was. But because they never released it, it makes no sense. Because I think that's probably the one thing that you and I missed, and probably a lot of folks that I know that didn't like it, was the understanding and the reasoning behind that transition. It was just, bam, he was there. Hey, this is what I did. I'm like,
18 months, yeah, I'm like, why?
Yeah.
I wanted to see the rematch with Thanos. No, you didn't.
Well, not that, but just explain, why did he go through that? That's the one thing I think that they've really dropped the ball on is the Hulk. You want to talk about probably one of the most level, like, when I'm trying to find the right term, but a basically onion type character. I'm going to use a Shrek term, all right? That there's layers to this character. They did not do any of that. When this is an amazing character with so many layers, more than any of the other characters, and they just sort of used him as a tool instead of taking advantage of what that character is.
They kind of dumbed him down.
Yeah.
That's what they dumbed him down, and which kind of sucks, but I'm glad that Professor Hulk is gone, apparently, and we have Banner back, and he's rocking that, you know, injury from the Endgame, which I dug. You had Captain Marvel there, and then you had, I mean, guys, this is a little bit of a spoiler, but
it's been out long enough. It's
been out long enough, so if you haven't seen it yet, then, turn us off. But spoilers,
and I think you're going to say it, but I think it was in the trailer, too, so you might be okay if I think okay. What you're saying.
Yeah. So they get the rings, they're investigating them, they have Wong there, they have Captain Marvel there, which is actually kind of cool, and they have Banner there, and they're basically looking, and like, oh, they're going deep inside, like, oh, these rings have been around for a long time. By the way, the explanation for the rings is great, is better to me movie-wise than it was comic-wise, because comic-wise, they were stupid. It was just him, like, handing 10 rings, and they had, like...
Well, the rings had there was a backstory to the rings. There was truly an explanation for them.
But these rings had function. They were actually, like, they looked cool. I mean, I like that adaptation, how they just brought it to the theater like that. Like, he's, like, jumping around with the rings. He could do different things. It was a weapon, and I dug that. But the further they go into those rings, you find out that there is a beacon. So who's he calling?
Yeah, that was the one thing. I was like, oh, okay, definitely leading into the next, you know, the next series of events.
Yeah. So there's been some videos and there's been some hot takes of who it is, and I've given you an opinion, and I think you have given an opinion, and I think the common opinion, like from what I've heard, especially on Twitter, is they think it's Galactus.
It makes sense.
That makes sense. I'm one. I think sure, but me, I said the Beyonder. And my friend Jose is like, oh, I didn't think of that. I go, well, it could be the Beyonder too. I mean, yeah, could it be Galactus? Sure. But don't sell yourself short on the Beyonder, man.
It could, yeah, it could be the Beyonder. It could be the Titans. Because you got to remember, we've got Eternals coming up. So the Eternals isn't just going to be some throwaway movie. There's going to be a tie-in to the bigger world. So I got a feeling we're going to get that answer as to who was that signal sent out to via the Eternals movie. I think in the post-credit scene, kind of how they did with Thanos, he was in the post-credit scenes over and over and over again. I think that's what we're going to see, is that signal went out. Okay, post-credit scene for Eternals. Where, you know, they're probably going to find out a little bit more of who it was.
dude, that I would flip out if that post credit scene in Eternals, you see like the beacon being held and it pans back and you see a guy on a silver surfboard and he's looking up. And then you see that image of that helmet. I would freak
maybe,
out.
Maybe we won't even see the image. Maybe it'll just be the surfer, and that's it. And they wait. I mean, because that's something you don't want to give out too quickly, especially after the backlash of the Fantastic Four movies. You know, both of them were not a, you know, the love was not shown on either one of those. So I think you want to take your time before revealing that one. And they're smart. If they're smart, they should be waiting and like really testing the waters.
I agree.
Let's talk about new movies coming out. Probably one I know you're excited about. Halloween Kills is coming out soon, but this one is also going to be, they're going to do a dual release. And oddly enough, it's going to be premiering on Peacock.
Isn't that strange?
Yeah, which really, I mean, I'm sure the parent companies and the backside of it, you know, but when I saw that, I was like, really, Peacock? Okay, that's not one I expected, but again...
Do you have the box office for the first the latest Halloween that came out in front of you at all?
No, I don't know.
Because I'm trying to think, that movie I know made some money.
Yeah, it did. But again, you got to realize we're still in the COVID world. Okay. They're still you know, being very careful. And so, I think that's probably what they're doing. But yeah, it looks like because of Universal, Peacock's tied in with Universal, and they're just because they also did that with the Boss Baby. They did that as well. Actually, I think that one did they did the day and day strategy with that one. And apparently it didn't hurt it. I mean, with Boss Baby, I think you were looking at what they say. Domestically, it made $57 million and $48 million internationally.
That's not bad. And those films are.
And that was months ago. So that's before like things really started kind of getting rolling on the opening. So. You know, it's not going to hurt them. I mean, because guess what? If you got folks out there that really want to watch Halloween and you want that, you especially when in a horror movie, you kind of want the crowd reaction. I know me, that's the one thing I love, going to watch horror movies with a crowd, because you get the people going, don't go in there. Bitch, run.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, you get that audience interaction. And I think, you know, a lot of Halloween fans are looking forward to that. But again, I thought that was kind of interesting that they were going to be releasing it on Peacock, so.
I can't wait, though. I mean, I'm going to check it out. I mean, the trailers looks pretty good, and hopefully it's not Halloween 3. So. Even though you like that film, but
hey. It wasn't bad. It's a slasher film. I mean, really, go back and watch some of the original slasher films. They're not that great. I just rewatched Nightmare on Elm Street.
Which one?
The first one.
Oh, that was kind of campy, but it was
exactly funny. So that's what I mean. I think when I looked at the back then at the horror movies coming out in the '80s, camp was part of it. I expected it. I didn't expect a full blown slasher like, you know, we got back in the '70s.
Yeah, we won't get those anymore, unfortunately. So what you got, buddy?
Video games. We got two video game trailers that came out this week, and one we were just talking about in the green room. We were talking about the remake of Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. So check that out, guys. It's on our Facebook page if you want to watch that. PlayStation exclusive. Originally, it was an exclusive on Xbox when the original one came out, so this is kind of taking their turn, I guess. But yeah, it looks like a remake. We don't get any gameplay. We just get, you know, a voiceover, and then we see Darth Revan, you know, light up the saber and mist.
Yeah, so cool. Light the lightsaber up, like very dark, very eloquent. Yes! 2023, I believe it's coming out, right? Is that what it says?
Yeah, I think that was the release date.
I mean, like you said before, and I think I'm going to have to, you know, say you're right, you know, because I hate saying you're right, but you were right on this one. It's basically the same game. It's like, unless they decide to tweak some things, which, you know, they will, graphic-wise, maybe story-wise.
Definitely graphic-wise, yeah. I think that's what we're going to see the biggest change.
The ending is still going to be the same. That's why they showed. If you guys have played the original Knights of the Old Republic, you know what happens. So this remake is clearly reinstating that same ending is going to happen again.
Not exactly. They don't hint at anything in this trailer at all, other than the fact you see Revan. That's really about it. If
you play the game, then you know he has a lot to do with your character.
Exactly, but again, like I said, I don't think it gives anything away to the game. It's just the word remake. When I see that word remake on there, it always kind of gives me pause. I'm like, wait a second, what's remake about what? You know, are they going to change it? Now, Mike, somebody said this online, and I thought it was kind of an interesting thing. They're like, Is this them testing the waters to go into that expanded universe? To me, I could think of a cheaper way of testing the water.
Me too, but
so I'm kind of like, I'm not too sure on that.
They might. I mean, they have all that material; it's just sitting there. And you know, in the new, and they say what you will about the new trilogy, they did dip into a lot of Legends.
Oh yeah, no. I've always said that they did exactly what Feige did in Marvel. They looked at what's in there and they took them out and toyed with them.
They cherry picked. They're like, I'm gonna take that. I'm gonna take that. So they'll cherry pick up that Legends to death. So it's already there. So.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to see a little bit more. But yeah, I don't think it's gonna be too much. I think they're going to revamp it. They're definitely revamping the gameplay because that old style of gameplay just isn't going to work with, you know, today. I've got it on my Xbox right now, the game, and it's, you know, still set up the same way, you know, still play it. But so I figure this new version is going to be, it's going to be a different gameplay. I think the story structure will be very similar. I don't know if they're going to delve too much into that. Yeah. But again, I'd be surprised that, you know, if they do, if this is their way of testing that water to see if that's, you know, something that folks want, or they could just be just sending it out there to shut people up. Yeah, that's another thing, because that's all over.
I don't want to hear it no more here.
Yeah, if you look on the chat, if you look in the chat rooms and everything like that, it's that's all. I mean, we need more. You know, this we need to see more from the Old Republic.
There's a guy on YouTube. He's called Star Wars Explained. And one time I joined his live stream and I was looking in the chat room. I was just sending him some questions. And dude, like most of the questions that were sent, besides everybody hating like the new trilogy, was like, when is Knights of the Old Republic going to come out? I want a remake. You know, make them like, all right, man, enough already. It's like and it's like he sat there and I think he answered one question. He's like, look, guys, I like Knights of the Old Republic like you guys, but you got to calm down.
Yeah.
This is a guy literally like a little T-shirt and wearing a stormtrooper like helmet saying, dude, relax. I like it, but calm down.
Yeah, and again, I think this might just be getting them to, like I said, just appease the crowd, saying, hey, listen, here it is. It's something new. It's something, but again, this could be a way of also testing the water. But I could think of, like I said, I could think of cheaper ways of testing the water for Knights of the Old Republic. You got Disney. Throw out an animated show. Probably a lot cheaper than developing a whole game.
Just saying.
We also got the trailer for, finally, a Wolverine game coming from Marvel, which I think is awesome to see. Nothing really in the game or in the trailer. We just see, you know, Wolverine sitting at a bar. We are assuming it's the bar he owns. I can't remember the name of it. But throughout the bar, you will find little nuggets, just little Easter eggs all over the place. You'll see there's a license plate that says Hulk 186. That was the issue that he debuted on the cash register. You'll see James's total, 1974, the year Wolverine debuted. There's a lot of great little Easter eggs. So the fact that they included those kind of great Easter eggs throughout the whole trailer makes me confident in what they're going to be doing to that. Also, this is from PlayStation Showcase, so I don't know if this is a PlayStation only game or not.
Might be.
Well, I mean, you got to think Star Wars and Marvel own both by the same company, so maybe they have a deal with PlayStation now.
I just hope the game is better than the Avengers game that I had for a while. Like the Avengers game that came out, I bought. It was a lot of backlash.
Have you played it again? Because I know they revamped it a lot.
I think about it is I bought it when it first came out, and I was excited because I didn't care. Okay, well the characters are different, they're voiced differently. I didn't care. I was like, it's an Avengers game. It's gonna be fun, and it wasn't what I wanted it to be. Open world. It wasn't open world. It was very mission eccentric where you had to like catch characters coming on. I mean, you could change characters. Yeah, that's cool. But the DLCs came out way late.
Yeah, like, you were looking for like a Spider-Man open world style.
My daughter, when I bought the game, she's like, Dad, you know, is Spider-Man going to be in the game? That was her first thing because that's her favorite Marvel character. She loves Spider-Man. And I'm like, sweetie, I don't know. Like they said it was going to come out literally that year and Christmas and never did. They were like, well, it's going to come out this year. Like now I don't care.
Yeah.
And I traded the game in and it was done. It's just like,
oh,
it was
okay. So you don't have it. Yeah. Because I've heard 6 months ago, they revamped the game. They made a lot of big changes on it and folks that felt the same way you did. One of a friend of mine, Mandaddy, he felt the same way, dude. I swear to God, if I would have put your two comments up on the page, it would have been identical. But he went to revisit it after the update, and he he enjoys the game now.
Okay. Yeah, I know they have Black Panther, T'Challa's in there now.
Well, so. Yeah, I mean, you're going to look at the Marvel. Again, we still have to, most folks still have to understand, Spider-Man is not owned by Disney. You know, he's on loan. He's on borrowed time. So you're probably not going to see him in that kind of game just yet. You're going to most likely, that's why we've always seen him in a standalone game.
Speaking of that, they actually intro the trailer to Spider-Man 2 this week also, which is coming out from Insomnia Games. I'm not sure if you caught that one.
Yeah, I did, saw a little bit of it, yeah.
Yeah, and it was like a little teaser, and basically it's just the voiceover. You're going to have Kraven in the film, and you have both Spider-Mans in there, which I think was cool because I love the first Spider-Man game. The second one, Spider-Man Miles Morales, I was not, didn't like so much. It was okay, but to me it was just like, it was a step down. Now you're bringing both Spideys in there, and they're going to fight Venom, which I thought, okay, you know what? Well, Venom is a popular character now. He's got a movie coming out. He's always been one of the most popular Marvel characters out there. So what a better way, get him in the game, have Kraven in there. I'll dig it. I think it's coming out another, I think it's 2023. Again, that's PS5 exclusive as well. So
yeah, 2023. Yeah, that's, yeah. We got, I think, because PlayStation had their, I guess they had an event this week. Because mm-hmm. all the new games came out there. We all were from them. So another trailer for a movie dropped this week, Matrix mm-hmm. Resurrections. What'd you think about it?
Let me add a little context before I get into it.
Okay. Just like,
all right, little context. Love the first Matrix movie. Loved it to death. I think it's iconic. I think it should go in the film, like Hall of Fame, as like, you know, everything. So good. Second Matrix, a step down to me. Thought it was still good, but to me a little bit of a step down. Matrix Revolutions, whatever, the last film, freaking hated it. Hated it. It was awful. The ending was stupid. It made, like, what? And the ending with the architect and, like, the lady and the bench, I was like, no. So I was not looking forward to a Matrix 4. I wasn't. But we are in the age of the Keanu-sance, right? Keanu Reeves is basically back. John Wick, Bill and Ted, all that stuff. He's revisiting his old. I think he's going to do Constantine as well. I was not looking forward to this. Then the trailer came out. Because actually, I was sleeping, and I got a little update looking at my iPhone. All right, let me just watch this. The cool thing about this trailer was the use of the song White Rabbit. If you listen to the song as it begins the trailer, like that song White Rabbit, I mean, you're a musician, so you know it begins at a very slow tempo, right? Very calm, very chill. And it actually matches that trailer because it's building to something. And eventually when you get there, so does the song, which I thought, like, oh God, they synced the song and this freaking trailer perfectly. And I fucking love that trailer, man. I don't want it, but to hell if I'm not going to see it. To hell if you and I and City are not seeing that movie.
Yeah.
Opening night or the weekend or something.
Yeah, December 22nd it's coming out. But yeah, I mean, there was so many Alice in Wonderland references throughout the first trilogy, so it made sense.
Yeah, it made sense. Yeah,
the pills that you're taking, the white rabbit that's on the girl's shoulder. My issue is how they left the last one. I can understand Neo coming back because he was brought into the Matrix. He was there physically, so he could get thrown back into the fucking into the tanks again, no problem.
How's Trinity alive? Right?
Trinity died out in the fields. And died. So that one, I'm not. I was like, how's she coming back? I don't know. I wasn't a big fan of the trailer. As a really big fan of Matrix. And again, I'm not looking forward to. I don't understand why or how they're going to do it. I'll watch it. I'm interested in watching it, but I can't say I'm excited.
I'm excited,
especially seeing how they're doing. It's almost looking like a retelling of the first one.
Do you think what they're doing is they're actually saying that those first three films didn't exist and this is like a totally...
No. They're going off of the first three films' mythology. Remember, the mythology was that the Matrix starts over and over again and the one goes back into the system. Well, he went back into the system. Well, Zion's probably trying to free him again because, look, there's a black guy that's wearing the same kind of shades who's supposedly supposed to be Morpheus. There's the same girl with a white rabbit tattoo. They don't remember anything. It's just... a lot of similarities, like way too many similarities. The only one I thought that was kind of cool is there's an Indian actress in there, and they're saying that that's Shuri from the train station. Remember the little girl in the second one or the third one? Well, I think she was in both, actually. But she ended the movie with sitting next to the Oracle. They're saying that's her older. that she's grown up. Yeah, oh. so somebody made that theory. I was like, okay, that's kind of cool. I dig that. But yeah, it just sounds like it's almost like a kind of like they're going to be doing a retelling of the first one, just some tweaks. And I'm like, I don't know. I understand the whole thing with nostalgia, but like, dude, this is one I could literally understand race swapping or sex swapping a character. You know, having the next one be a, you know, an Asian woman or you know, something that I could get, but not Keanu again. I think it's kind of strange.
Well, it's like I said at the beginning, Keanu is on a roll, so you're going to throw him in there eventually. And, you know, he's going to help sell that movie a little bit better than if he wasn't in it. So
I don't know. I think there's a lot of folks that feel like me that's not going to help them sell it.
I think it will.
Well, that's you. I'm just telling you. I think there's a lot of people out there that aren't looking forward to it because he's back in it, because they feel the same way I do.
Well, screw those people. What? They're wrong. Yeah. Both wrong. You're all wrong.
Like I said, it's just retelling the same old story. I've seen it, and I've seen it, and you have said it. You just said it a few minutes ago. You think it should be go into the Library of Congress is probably one of the best films of all time.
The first one, yes.
And that to me, what I see so far is a retelling of the first one. Why fuck with perfection? Why do it? So that's all. I'll wait to see how it is when it comes out. But no, that's my opinion right now.
I agree with you. I'm with you, but I'm looking forward to it. Like, I was not looking forward to them doing a fourth movie at all. But after seeing that trailer, I'm gonna watch it. I'm gonna pay my $15 and I'm gonna go watch it in the theaters with you guys. That's the goal of the trailer, to get me excited. So guess what? They pulled me in. They already have my $15. Hell, I'll go to Fandango right now and I will reserve my seats if I have to. So
what'd you think about Injustice trailer?
Loved it. Straight to the comics. It's the fall of Superman, which I love. I think I was watching Kill Bill, I think it was volume 2, and there's a speech that Bill has with Bride, and he's basically talking about comic book heroes. He's talking about, you know, Peter Parker, Spider-Man, but when he gets up in the morning, he's Peter Parker. So he has to put the costume on to be Spider-Man. And then he gets to Superman. He's like, Superman came here as Superman. Clark Kent is his costume. Basically, the way Clark Kent dresses is how he sees humanity, weak, frail and pathetic. And I was like, God damn. First of all, fucking awesome monologue if you haven't watched Kill Bill Part 2. But seeing like this trailer for Injustice reminds me of like how you can have such a character in Superman. Well, we've read the Injustice comics. He could be at such a high level as that symbol of hope, and to just go straight to that dictatorship. Like, you know, it takes one thing, 3 seconds to change everything. And literally when he kills the Joker, it shows a little bit of it. It changed that entire character. Like, instead of him being the beacon of hope, he twists it around. He's become this dictatorship because he believes in his heart he's doing the right thing. And I think that trailer shows that fall of Superman, and I love that. I've never been the biggest Superman fan. We've known this for 3 years, but, you know, generally as the years have gone along, I've seen where you've come from with comics and stuff like that, that he's actually a decent, well-rounded character. But when you make him evil, and as powerful as he is, it makes for a great story, especially like when he believes what he's doing for society is right. He believes it. Like, dude, I'm eliminating crime. I'm eliminating all this stuff. We put up with it for way too long. I'm going to stop the little crimes and stuff like that. Actually reminds me of an episode of Justice League Unlimited with the Justice Lords, which I think is a heavy influence to Injustice. I'm not sure if they came out at the same time, but they're very similar in story strength wise as well. But I dug it. So sorry.
No, the Justice Lords have been around for a long time. But I'm sure it was a part of that. I think it also goes back to the same quote I think is used in Killing Joke. You know, the Joker makes a comment. You know, he's like a person can just have one bad day and can change completely who they are, and that falls into what happens with Superman. And it definitely looks like they are taking influences from both the comic books and from the video game, because when you watch the trailer, they say from the acclaimed video game, from the acclaimed book, because the video game came out first, and then the book. So, you know, they're definitely, I know they both feed off of each other and they're very similar, but I think we're going to see a little bit of both in there, which I can't wait. I think it looks great. Cast looks awesome. So I'm on board, of course. You know, anything DC animated, I'm all about.
They always knock it out of the park when it comes to animating. So it's always like, you know, it's always 10 out of 10 for me.
So. Did you see that picture I posted of Batman, of the Batman? It was just him standing by himself.
Is that for that comic book that's coming out?
No, that's the that's Batman the World. That's a
look, that trailer sold me, man. Yeah. I'm buy that book in a heartbeat. I'm not sure if it comes out this week or next week, but that trailer alone, it was like, it shows him in the shadows, and it shows like now Batman is going to go worldwide. It shows like the different Batman. Reminds me of Batman Inc., by the way.
That's
like,
what when I first saw it, and I was like, what the hell is this? Are we doing Batman Inc. again? And then I realized, no, they're actually taking authors and artists from Japan and making a Batman story. Then they're going to India, and they're making those artists and those writers. So then I was like, okay, I'm cool with this one. I thought we were getting out of freaking Batman Incorporated again. I was like, I've seen this. I don't want to see this again.
What I thought too, but then when I saw like the different writers and stuff like that, what the stories are going to do, I'm like, okay, I'm in. I want that hardcover to come out. But no, I didn't see. I saw the picture, but
the picture is it's him, but instead of him having the opening in the mouth, it's a full mask.
It's enclosed.
Enclosed. I was like, nice, because that reminded me of Speeding Bullet, that Elseworld book, because that's exactly how he looked like. He looked like in Batman suit, but everything was covered up. You couldn't see his face.
It reminded me of one of the Batman video games from Arkham Origins. It was a DSL. It was called The Coldest Night, I believe, and it was basically a DSL about Mr. Freeze. And he has this suit, which basically is exactly like that. It's all enclosed, like the cowl's like this, and he breathes through that apparatus. I was like, oh shit! So they're doing that for the Batman. And as I told you for the 105th time, when I watched a trailer, I actually saw a glimmer of hope. There was a glimmer of hope now. There is. It's a small glimmer, not a big one, but there is a glimmer of hope in that Batman trailer now. So,
I guess I'm going to take your hope away now. Did you also see that DC and Webtoons have partnered up to make a brand new series starring the Batman family called Wayne Family Adventures?
Can I leave?
Nope. We're here for the whole thing. So Bruce Wayne has fairly a sprawling family. You know, we have Dick Grayson, Barbara Gordon, Jason Todd, Tim Drake, Damian Wayne, Stephanie Brown, all of them. So looks like they're kind of making a fun Batman where looks like it's trying to redeem some of it, where they're giving more of a Bat Dad content, which I am loving it.
Yeah. But then again, I didn't like Brave and the Bold, so you know what? I'll give it a shot. That's the way I look at it, because I was a big hater on Brave and the Bold, and then I texted you, and you were like, well, you should give it a chance. And then when you mentioned the Silver Age, I was like, really? Yeah, it's basically the Silver Age. I'm like, okay, so I started watching it, love the fuck out of it. So maybe I'll love the fuck out of it.
I'm loving the design. I love what they're going to do. I mean, they're bringing in all of these characters. They're bringing in an animated Nightwing. Yo, looks like they are bringing in an animated Red Hood. But yeah, it says the idea of the Bat family acting like an actual family is something that many DC fans would love to see. One, I don't think would love to see it, but basically they're talking like sibling rivalries, you know, him being a parent in a way, you know, having to deal with not just him being you do what I say, him actually being a nurturing father in a way. That's something that we've never seen, but you know he's had to have been that.
I hope so, because goddamn Titans portrays him to be a total asshole. So he's the worst father.
But there's one picture that I love about that they showed for it. Let me see. I got it. This is one of their posters I loved. I was like, oh yes.
Let me see. I do. That is a cool poster, though.
It says "Justice runs in the family," and it's got them all with their mask off and like. Bruce's face. Look at Dick's face. He's looking over. I'm assuming that's Jason. He's looking down at his watch, like I screwed up, and the girls are off, you know, looking out different directions. I thought this was kind of fun to see.
Is that Cassandra Cain?
I think we're going to get Batgirl or Bat. I can't see if this is Batgirl or Batwoman, because like the way her outfit is, I don't see the bat symbol. That looks very Batwoman-esque. Not red Batwoman-esque, but like the black one. And that looks very similar to the Huntress.
Is that Stephanie Brown? Is this spoiler?
Yeah, well, they were saying a spoiler. Thank you. Yeah, that's okay. They were saying it was going to be, you know, that list of all of them said Stephanie Brown, Duke Thomas,
Cassandra.
Those are the ones right here.
Harley Quinn is joining Batman's inner circle too. Okay.
Well, she's slowly become, you know, this anti-hero in a way. She's not always
Joker's girl.
Yeah, she's not always Joker's girl. She is who she, you know, she is who she is, and that, you know, that even when you watch, you read the White Knight. You know, there's this great relationship that builds up between Batman and Harley, because she's a victim of what the Joker did to her, and he's there to kind of protect her, but at the same time, she loves the Joker, and she's kind of against Batman for what he did, but they somehow begin this great relationship to where, before Joker goes crazy and like goes off the deep end and dies, she finds out that she's pregnant with kid, you know, twins. And so what Batman does, stepping in, being the parental figure that he is, and wanting to take care of orphans, he sort of helps with her, you know, helps financially and takes care of her, and there builds up this bond between them, which is really cool.
Yeah, I dug it. By the way, I finished White Knight, so it's
you got to read the second one, not just the first one.
White Knight, yeah, I'm gonna have to get on next. So,
And then of course we did get a date for where'd it go? Visions, Star Wars Visions, which now I'm hearing a big kickback and like about it. Like a lot of people are like upset that this. They're like, why are they having to throw anime into Star Wars? That's going to ruin it. I'm like, well, okay. But it looks like, yeah, there's going to be seven anime studios doing 9 original short stories, and I think it'll be fun.
That'd be awesome. Who cares? Well, let's tell them to shut up.
It's the cranky fandom menace group. That's cranky.
It's the Steve-O's fans, the Steve-O fan base. I'm going to call them that from now on. They're like, you know, we're unwilling to accept change. The movies are everything. Although I think he's kind of strayed away from that, but. I'm glad. Like, I love Star Wars should be branched. That's a big world, man. They have so many stories they can tell. Why not do some anime stuff? Actually, there's some anime stuff on YouTube. If you watch it, they, one particular short that I've watched a couple times and I told you about is they basically, it's an anime one that's created basically in the view of a TIE fighter pilot. And he's going out to battle and has all this different music out there and has an X-Wing pilot going out there. And you see the perspectives while they're fighting in war. It's a really cool little short. So why not jump on that? I mean, it's another medium for Star Wars to get out there. That the key for Star Wars, yes, it is big, but you want to branch out. You want to make it more, not just trilogy films, not just comics. You want to make it just open. Like, look at Bad Batch. I haven't seen Bad Batch yet, but you have raved about Bad Batch. That eventually I'm going to break down and actually watch Bad Batch. My brother finished Bad Batch, and he's poking holes at me. He's like, you didn't finish? Like, no, I didn't finish, man. I'm sorry. He's like, get on it. Like, okay, well, I'll get on it. Why not?
Looks like WandaVision's pulling in some Emmys. Have you been watching that? Seeing what they're doing?
Yeah.
They brought in lead actress for limited anthology series, limited anthology series, supporting actress, lead actor, and director for limited anthology series.
It's one of the most unique Marvel things they've done. It's a one and done thing.
What, win awards? Yeah, that is.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's never won awards. No more. Well, maybe technically it's won awards, but
what I just told you, they have won Emmy awards for lead actress, for supporting actress, for lead actor, for best limited series, and for directing.
Oh, they won!
That's what I said. They have won the Emmys.
Oh shit!
I'm sorry. Not just being. You know, they were nominated 23 Emmys overall, but they've won 5.
So what are they? What did Liz Olsen win for?
Again, like I just said, let me do this one more time. For lead actress, lead actor, supporting actress, limited series, and then directing for the limited series.
Directing should have won lead.
All three main characters basically got it, and then the director, and then the series itself won for best limited or anthology series is how they're referring to it as.
Good for them.
Well deserved,
guys. Well deserved.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. I thought it, you know, for what they did, the groundbreaking. Again, when we first watched it, and I think that was something that everybody had issues with, was like, what the hell are we watching? Because we didn't get where they were going with it. Then I think once the ball started rolling after, you know, week 3, we're like, oh, okay, that's what they're doing. They're doing, you know, time frames and time, you know, different television series styles and things like that. And that it became, you know, fun. But I remember, who was it? Oh, our friend Marie. She was watching it, and she's like, "I what the hell is this?" Because I don't think she was catching on to what was going on.
And we told her to keep
watching. Yeah, we're like, no, because we all felt the same way. We're like, no, we all, that was our first reaction, but we stuck it out, and you stick it out, and you'll be happy.
Do the Heroes of Asylum 5 episode rule. You'll be very, very happy, especially when you get to the ending. The ending is awesome. So.
And I guess the news is that's sort of leaked a little bit about Doctor Strange is the new Doctor Strange movie will be set 2 years
after post
WandaVision. Yeah, that's the newest news that it will be to come out 2 years or not come out 2 years, but it will be set post WandaVision. So we'll see, you know, and basically I think what they were saying is it was where we'll see Strange face a difficult choice between ending Wanda Maximoff's life to save the multiverse or abiding by his Hippocratic Oath as a doctor. So that's one of the rumors that's sort of been kicked around. So it'll be interesting to see.
Hmm. So I wonder if Wanda's going to be the main antagonist of that film.
Well, because she kind of already hinted at it. It's already having that dual personality still inside of her, you know, and there's going to be that. I think there's going to be a moment where that's going to come out. And again, Agatha's still out there.
Yeah, she is. So I think she's going to be in Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, isn't she? Wasn't that mentioned? Or
No, not that I saw, but it would make sense.
Why not bring her in there? We'll speed her. Wong's going to be back, and maybe we'll get Nightmare. Who knows?
But, hey, I got a question for you. When we watched, did you not find it odd that Wong and the Abomination were just like buddies?
Buddies? Yeah, it was a little strange.
I was like, where were they going? Like, they want to go leave? Hey, come on, let's go. We're going to leave. I'm like, what?
They were going back to the raft.
Yeah, I understand. Oh, that was just, it was like very strange. Like, does he just like check them out and say, hey, we're going to go earn some money? We gotta go make some money to save the orphanage. I mean, what are we doing? Breaking to a storyline where they got to do something to make money for.
Tell him, hey man, you pulled your punches again. You know what did I tell you?
Yeah.
I'm like, what is it? And he's like, that's, I guess it's another story, but I guess, well, Abomination's still out there.
Yeah, and it was weird. It was definitely a different version of Abomination. It was closer to the comic book version of Abomination with the little gill thingies or wings or whatever you want to call them on his head.
Nice seeing him again, but yeah, it was kind of strange seeing him. Like, yeah, he didn't really deserve to be there. Like, it's one of those cameos. Like, we don't want to be there.
That's what cameos are. They're like, oh, that's awesome. That's great to see that they're hinting at it. You know, that was always the one thing that they kind of talked about is, you know, the Hulk movies. Yes, they're part of it, but sometimes they really don't count. Other than the fact we've seen, you know, Thunderbolt,
mm-hmm.
and that's really the only the only thing that's been the continuing thread between Hulk movies and the MCU was him. You know, since they changed actors, so you didn't have that, and so it was.
Boss, he maintains, man. William Hurt keeps going. So was it John Hurt? Is it John Hurt or William Hurt? No, what guy was it? William Hurt? Was it no? Just like it's John.
John
Hurt,
it's John. Yeah.
William passed away. That's all right. Yeah, I forgot all the Hurts. Sorry.
All right. So you got anything?
Did you see the God of War trailer as well? That's one of the video games we actually missed. But
yeah, I did. Yeah, I did see it. Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was pretty good.
I thought it was dope, and I think there was a lot of backlash because of the way Thor appears. But I think we were both on the same point as far as that goes. And my friend Sarah Stone on my Facebook page, she was like, "That's the way guys looked back then. Now, they were not like Chris Hemsworth. They didn't have like all these particular diets going on, and you know, they didn't look like slim trim. Like they were big, burly, you know." Just world's strongest man guys.
When you look at world's strongest men, they're not ripped like look at that. They've got a belly. They're just overall big dudes.
Yeah, they're big dudes that you don't want to fight. Like, I don't want to fight those guys. No. Those guys are freaking massive. They'll kill you.
Yeah, no, you look at the description of Thor, that is the description of Thor. You know, when you look at the actual history and the mythology, a lot of folks are just so used to seeing Thor on MCU, and they think that's the epitome of Thor. No, it's not.
No, that's just that's the MCU versions of Thor. But I thought it looked good. The trailer looks awesome, and I can't wait. I got to buy my PS5 because I'm getting angry.
You and me both. Apparently, I have to get PS5 now because you know there's like four fucking games already.
Yeah, Gotham Knights I think comes out next year too. That's another one. It's like Jesus, you know? Can I get the freaking PS5 already? I'm just kidding. Somebody has a hookup. Let me know. HeroesOfSilentPodcast@gmail.com.
Sorry, I just had a Rick Steiner moment.
Did you?
Well, you're like, let me know if somebody's got the hookup. I was like, just went back to Rick Steiner's.
Oh, you should say it.
And the last thing I have, and this is sort of kind of sad news, and not. I mean, it's kind of been away for a while anyways, but it's been announced that Mirage Studios says goodbye and, well, cowabunga, because they're closing. If nobody knows, Mirage Studios is the studio that created Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. They were originally, really, the joke of Mirage Studios was the two creators of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were in somebody's home. So it wasn't a studio. It was actually a home. It was in somebody's basement. So so there was always the joke about, you know, about them being, you know, in a studio, but they really weren't. But the creators of Kevin Eastman and Peter Lard, they had sold everything off, but they finally are closing out that side of it. The parent company that now owns them is closing them down. So it says here, Mirage Studios sold the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles intellectual property to Viacom, Nickelodeon, way back 2009, and they've been winding down business affairs over the last dozen years. So the four Mirage corporations, the Mirage Studios, licensing, publishing, and everything, were being dissolved. So it's kind of like a bittersweet moment. You know, we're not losing the turtles, but like where they came from, their birthplace basically is gone now.
You've destroyed Krypton. So that sucks. And they've been around forever too.
They started. Cool. Yeah, the turtles started like mid early 90s, I believe. 84. No, 84. Sorry, not 90s. 84.
They were on for a while. It sucks.
That's kind of what they started with. You know, it was just these two guys. They just were friends, and or they weren't friends. They were acquaintances that somebody got them to work together because they were both artists and they needed just help. And what they did, which was so cool about the Turtles, that these guys, when they say they co-wrote it, they literally did. One would literally draw one page and then pass it over for somebody and the other guy would write the dialogue. Well, while that guy was waiting for that guy to finish, the other guy would draw another page, and then they would swap. So they were their fingerprints were on every single page, both of them. One would do dialogue on one page, the next page he would draw, the next page he would do dialogue. They would swap out, and they just had fun, and it was, you know, it's one of those, you know, David Goliath kind of things. These guys were so small and just coming out of a small house. I think they made like 3,000 copies when they first released them, and they sold like crazy. They sold them out so fast. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, borrowed money from an uncle so they could get more made. And it's just, it's great to see what they did and how they grew. And I know years later, they did less drawing and dealt more with the business. And that's where they kind of like fell out.
Yeah, well, they got that IP, that franchise made so much money. Like, you talked about comics, you talked about TV shows, you talked about movies, you talked about toys. They don't really need to do much else. I mean, yes, yeah. They're closing down, but like, you think of something else, they're probably like in charge, like you just said, of the businesses side, and they're just throwing that turtle IP out there everywhere. Like, I think there's another movie in the works. I think there's another animated series in the works. I'm sure they're going to do the comics again, but yeah, the ending of where it began is kind of bittersweet, but you know, the turtles will keep
going. Oh yeah, yeah. They will go long past the creators' lives. Trust me, they'll go long past. But it is kind of cute how they were designed, because they were doing other comic strips, and literally the turtles were made as a joke.
Yeah,
I think it was Peter drew a turtle, and then they just started passing it back and forth between each other to like improve and make it funnier and doing this. And then they just decided, you know, they just went with it and went that direction. Now, the only time that they ever, because originally they all had the red bandanas. It wasn't until they went to the animated cartoon that they had to decide which one's which, you know, who's going to get which color.
Oh, yeah. I'm telling
you. But yeah, so yeah, it's like I said, sad day that, you know, Mirage Studios is closing. But again, we will still always have the turtles with us.
Turtles will always be around, kids. We'll be dead and the turtles will still be around. So don't worry. Turtles are still here for you and me.
All right. Well, that's all I have. You got anything left?
No, buddy. That's all I got as well.
So, all right, guys. Well, make sure you guys do check us out. Here's Asylum on Facebook and on Twitter. We are going to be, you know, releasing, like I said, with our midnight movies. We still got the rest of this month, we're going to be doing Batman. The next month, of course, we're going to jump into the horror fest.
Horror fest.
And we've got that going on, as well as some other shows eventually going to be coming out. But yes. Make sure you guys do check us out there. Check out everything. I think both our shows are really on – go to podpage.com, and then you can type in Here's Asylum or The Midnight Movies, and you will find our links to all our shows and all the links you can go to for the subscriptions. That's the easiest way to find us, podpage.com, and then the name of the show.
Check us out. We're also on Spotify, iTunes. Check out Twitter, Loblo. Man, Loblo's a chair shot. They got Loblo's and chair shots too, but check out the Heroes Asylum _podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And from Mike to me to you, get to the Asylum. We will see you soon. Bye, guys.